And I love the way that God speaks to us and heals us. And there's just so much in His Word that we take for granted, that we don't understand the power in it.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where my friends and I talk about God's Word and the real stuff of life, and we hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Aaron Cluley, Jay, and of course, Joyce Meyer. We're all in different stages of life. A young career woman and mom to two sweet kiddos. An accomplished songwriter facing an unexpected new life's journey. A leader, creative, and author with a heart for adventure. And a world-renowned Bible teacher whose personal story has impacted millions. And there's you. Because sometimes you just need to talk about life with your girlfriends. So consider yourself one of us and let's talk it out.
Hi, friends. Merry Christmas week and welcome to Talk It Out.
Yes.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
Yes.
You know, these things, they just happen so fast.
Yes.
They just roll around and you're like, it's Christmas.
I'm not sure how, actually, that happened so quickly.
it was just Easter.
Yeah, Easter. Yeah.
How did we get
things
here?
Go quickly.
And I'm so excited, like stupid giddy about the show today.
Are you?
I am.
That's
like,
fun.
We're going to be talking, and many of you are going to say, really? You know, why is she so excited? But we're going to be talking about our favorite scriptures.
Yes.
And fewer things make me happier than just some of the things that God has done in my life through specific scriptures in His Word. And sharing it with other people so that they can kind of get that, oh my goodness, that's there for me too.
Yeah.
It makes me really happy.
Do you know what just happened? You are excited. As you're saying that, like I wrote down my scriptures for my favorite ones today. And as you're saying that, I remembered like another one came back to me.
Oh.
So like, I just think that's cool because things are inside of us.
Yeah.
And they get you through seasons and you almost forget about them. And then when they come back, you're like, oh yeah. So it is exciting.
Yeah. So many of my favorite scriptures are from even things that I just remember from even being a kid.
Uh-huh.
Like a child, you know? And like, I've talked about this so many times on the show, like how I learned my ABCs through scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's so like important, the whole, you know, raise your child up in the ways of the Lord, and when they're old, they won't depart from it.
Yeah.
In my tough times when I really couldn't physically open a Bible, like because I was, you know, so hurt or so weighed down with the pressures of life. Like,
and how many of us have been there multiple times? Oh,
yes, His Word have I hidden in my heart, like that I might not sin against them. So it was in my heart, and so the scriptures are powerful, and it's important to teach the kids.
Yeah,
because it'll rise up when you least expect it. So
And I think that specific scriptures do, like you're saying, take us all back to different points in our life, whether it was childhood or whether it was a time that I just really needed this or a time that my kid was hurting or whatever it may be. And I love the way that God speaks to us and heals us. And there's just so much in His Word that we take for granted, that we don't understand the power in it. So,
yeah. I think it's amazing how, like, it will hit in just the right way when it's that season that you're in.
Uh-huh.
So, like, a verse I could have read 2 years ago didn't mean as much as it does to me now because of where I am now. And I think that just shows the power of how God's Word really is alive and active.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not just words. It's not just a book. But, like, it's alive, and it meets you where you are. And only God could have done that.
Yeah, and you know what? Can we just take it back? I still can't believe you say you're giddy. I'm giddy because it's Christmas time.
No,
she's like, I'm giddy because we get to talk about scriptures.
It's true, though. You know, okay, I'm giddy about Christmas, too.
Yes.
Because I'm just a happy little elf. But
spiritually speaking.
Exactly. And I think that this is so much more than just a list of verses from a book.
Yeah.
You know, this is about talking about important times in our life.
Yeah.
This is, these are the deep things of living that make it all work.
Yeah, it's
true. So, I don't know. I'm excited to hear all of yours, seriously. But we're going to start with one from Joyce. And she shared so many of her favorite scriptures that are really powerful and will impact many of our lives. But she's going to start with one that had a huge impact on her own life.
How many of you have some favorite scriptures, things that just really mean a lot to you? And, you know, they're probably something that God showed you or revealed to you at a time when you really desperately needed it. I think that most of us who've been walking with God for any length of time, you have some scriptures that you could say really just turn things around for you. And I really want people to study the Word, not just read the Bible, but study the Word. And so part of this I'm doing because I really hope it's going to help you see the real power that's in the Word of God. There's power in God's Word. So I was a Christian for a long time before I ever started studying the Word. So I talk about when I became a serious Christian. Because you see, you can be a Christian, and if you really believe in Jesus, really truly believe in Jesus, I believe that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you'll go to heaven. But I don't believe that anybody can ever enjoy their life or be of any value to God unless they study the Word and really learn to live like a Christian. Being a Christian and living like a Christian is two different things. And in order to live like a Christian, we need to know the Word, and then we need to choose with God's grace and help to do the Word in every situation in our life. So back in 1976, when I got on my serious journey with God, one of the first scriptures that I remember really meaning much to me was John 8:31-32. So let's take a look at that first. So Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word. Now, the word abide means to live, dwell, stay, and remain. So to abide in the word is certainly different than reading the Bible. Amen? So if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Now, the reason why that was important to me was because I just had so much bondage in my life. I'd been sexually abused by my dad, and my mother didn't know how to help me, so she just didn't. And then I married the first guy that came along after that, and he mistreated me for another 5 years, ran around with other women, and ended up going to prison. And you can't live like that for the first 23 years of your life and not be damaged. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You did not get a good start in life, but that does not mean that you cannot have a good finish. And so being set free sounded really good to me. You will know the truth, and the truth, if you learn to live by that, will make you free. So I needed the hope of freedom. You know, we have to have hope if we're going to press in and continue day after day after day doing the right thing.
So Joyce needed freedom.
Yeah.
And this was a verse that talked about the truth will set you free. And mm-hmm. That's what everybody remembers about this.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that also amazes me is what she also talks about. It says, if you abide in my word, mm-hmm. you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And it was the word, studying the word and getting to know what it says that led her to that freedom.
Yeah.
You can't just take little parts of it and say, oh, yay.
Yeah.
I'm free. Exactly. Right. You have to catch the nuances of abide in my word. What do you guys think of with that word abide? I think it's a really pretty word.
It's beautiful. It's actually, it brings back one of my favorite scriptures. I have to read mine because I know them, and then I'll talk to you and I'll forget exactly what
that's
it
okay.
is.
That's okay. We're all with you.
All my papers over here.
We don't judge you
my favorite
your
scripture.
Cheat sheets.
Okay. Thank you. John 15:5. So that one is, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I think in one of the versions it uses the word abide, but it's that whole concept of like, you have to be in him.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorites. Growing up, that verse meant a lot to my dad. And so I watched him as he was raising me and my sister with my mom, and watched him go through difficult times. But he taught us that principle so clearly, like, you abide in Christ. It doesn't matter what's going on or how difficult things are. It's always better with him. And so yeah. you stay with him and he'll walk you through those things. So that is one of my favorite.
Be connected to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the concept of abiding in truth. Like in this chaotic world, mm-hmm. we can get so caught up in what Satan tries to present as truth, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
you can get so caught up in believing the lies, but like, seriously, living in truth, which is living in God's word and who God's word says you are, mm-hmm. that's the part. Like we like to take that little part out, and that's something that I would just love for us as believers to stop doing, taking pieces of scriptures out of context mm-hmm. and really going through and really reading, like, yes. reading the whole scripture. But then how about reading the whole chapter? You know, like,
whoa,
so you, can, you know, so you can like know what it's all saying, because we want to take
the
those
context,
little
the stories behind
yes,
it.
Yes, context is so important, and so like the abiding in truth is the part. And then yeah. if you abide in my word, if you live in my word, if you believe yeah. my word,
yeah.
then that truth will set you free. That yeah. truth will make you free. And that reminds me of one of my favorite ones. I remember being a little girl. I'm a Church of God in Christ girl. So Pentecostal girl. And the denomination was called Church of God in Christ. Okay. If gotcha. You know something about it. It's a lot of words, but as a little kid, I was so proud
of it. Is that on a cheat sheet?
But we called it for short Kojic, you know? So yes. yes. And we had a little tagline. You can't join in. You got to be born in.
You know? Whoa.
Like, I said, wow.
So exclusive.
So exclusive. But then it's like, no, born into the body of Christ. Oh, okay. I thought I just meant this club. But because I was like, are you Kojic? Then no, I don't want to be your friend. So wrong, church. Let's stop that. But like, but one of the things we did every Sunday morning, we would do like this roll call of like scripture. And my grandma was the Sunday school superintendent. Mm-hmm. So that means she was the leader of all things Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And so she'd go through these lists. She'd do a scripture, then we'd do a scripture. And then she'd do a scripture. And
that's
then
cool.
It's like a yeah. call and response. And hers was like, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then the one that I remember so strongly, it was like, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We did King James, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians 3:15. Like, and that scripture.
You still remember that stuff. It becomes part of it.
I still remember it. But I needed it so much when like my world was like chaotic. Mm-hmm. And I thought that my world would never be peaceful again.
Yeah.
And I thought that my heart would never be put back together again. And I yeah. felt like it was broken. That scripture rang so I could even hear mm-hmm. it. My grandma, she's passed mm-hmm. away now, but I could mm-hmm. literally hear her saying it with us, like, you know, like Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule your heart.
That's
you know,
cool.
let yeah. the peace of God rule your heart. So those
talk about it, freedom.
It's yeah. it, like, yeah. so but that's what I'm saying, like abiding mm-hmm. in that truth.
Yeah.
Even when you when it feels like the truth is your heart's broken, you ain't got nothing. No, and I can let the peace of God rule my heart. Mm-hmm. So that scripture's powerful.
You
me.
Talk about those things, and I think that's so beautiful. How important, like the things that were important to your dad mm-hmm. sunk into you, and yeah. the things that you learned in church, and you just don't forget those things. And
yeah.
my first two, I just remember my parents driving this into me, you know, Philippians 4:13.
Yeah.
I can
yeah.
do all things
yeah.
in Christ who gives me strength. And I was just naive enough to believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're a child,
absolutely.
It's
Superman.
Different. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you kind of walk with that, you know, not that you never fail, not that you never fall, but with Jesus, I can do anything I need to do
yeah.
and I'm
yeah.
going to be okay. And so having that foundation from the very beginning was huge. And then the other verse that kind of goes along with it in my head is James 4:8, come near to God and he will come near to you.
Ugh, yeah.
Because it's not just, yeah, you're going to be strong and you can do it all. It's no, it's in Jesus's strength.
Yeah.
And then it's also come near to God, abide in me, mm-hmm. right? Dwell in me, soak it in, and he will come near to me. So it's not like me just, you know how you want to be in the cool club group and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just always kind of elusive. I remember
like
one time.
Like Kojic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wasn't yeah. born into it.
You weren't. You couldn't be in it then.
So I remember one time in junior high, there were the cool girls, and I got invited to the slumber party of the year, right, with the Cole girls. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is it.
I have arrived.
You've made it.
This is my open door. And I went, and it was fun, and I did not fall into that group. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It was like, oh, it was a one-time thing.
Yeah. You're a cool girl for the day.
Right. But with Jesus, it's not like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like we don't have to have any question, is he going to accept me?
Yeah.
We
yeah.
are in the cool club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We draw near to him, and he draws near to us. So I love that. And that really set me up mm-hmm. for my entire life. Yeah, but I also love what Joy said about maybe you didn't have the beginning that you wanted, but you can have the future mm-hmm. that God wants you to have. So all of us, I see God working in our lives, whatever that situation may have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about... I didn't write it on my list because it's like full chapters of the book. So my notes, they didn't fit that. But what you were saying about like reading the whole chapter and not just the verse. So reading about David
yes.
and what an amazing leader he was. And so when you only read verses in some of those books of the Bible, you only get glimpses of mm-hmm. the whole story. But I remember reading it like as an adult, like last year mm-hmm. and thinking, oh my goodness, like all the answers I need to how to do my life are right here. Like I can be a good leader like David.
Yeah.
And it was so alive and exciting to me. And I did feel giddy reading it. I wanted to tell everybody about what I had just
David
read.
David was certainly giddy.
Yeah. He was.
He's dancing around naked.
Yeah. He has his clothes on.
Yes.
How dare he?
I didn't take that note for my own, but.
I mean, at home, why not?
No. Why not? But yeah, it's exciting in the season that you're in.
Yeah.
No matter
yeah.
what you've been through.
No matter. And like I glean from Psalms, all of them,
yeah.
like all the Psalms. Like those are some of my very, very top favorites, you know, just yeah. because David reminds me that it's okay to be a Christian and still be human.
Mm-hmm.
And to say like, in this part of my life, I feel like God has abandoned me. But then I still remember, if you keep reading, I still remember that God is good and I trust you. But then right. the next chapter, like, I don't know if I might take that back kind of like, Lord.
Why are the bad guys still getting all the yeah, good stuff? Yeah,
right. Why are you letting the bad guys win? It yeah. seems like the bad guys are winning. And so, but yeah, like David makes me feel more human. And that's what I love about scripture is we really got people's diaries.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like as believers now, yeah. like we are very, very, I mean, we aren't, but not anymore. I mean, at one point, but a lot of Christians are very, very private, mm-hmm. you know, like we don't like to ruffle feathers.
Scared that people might know the truth, you know how heavens weak we are, know how fearful we are.
Yeah. Like the Bible, that's the first reality TV. It's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I mean,
the
Jesus
script.
Flipped over tables.
He flipped over yeah. tables. He ran away from home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was at church, but he ran away from home. Like he flipped over tables. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He made fish just duplicate, you know?
He like, hung out with bad people.
He hung out with prostitutes
oh,
and tax
favorites.
Collectors.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, I'm just saying, it's just all of the, like, seriously, if you talk about David literally told on himself, you know, like, he lusted after another man's wife and then killed her husband. Dun, dun, dun. Like the Bible's juicy.
Well, we're going to keep moving on with our favorite scriptures. And so many people are dealing with fear right now in yeah. the world. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in my life? What about my family? What about my job? The culture, all of it. And so Joyce's favorite scripture, one of them she's going to talk about next, deals with fear.
Then we have this fear thing to deal with. And boy, that's something that we all got to settle somewhere along the line, or we're going to always be in trouble. So God told Joshua, every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have already given unto you. And then in the same chapter, he tells him about three different times, fear not, fear not, fear not. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, let's talk about fear for a minute. See, I kept waiting to not feel fear. Well, if I just wasn't afraid, I could do that. If I just didn't feel this fear, I could do that. And boy, did God ever give me a revelation out of that verse. Man, I love that verse. Because actually, when God said to him, fear not, he was actually telling him, fear is going to present itself to you and try to stop you. It's going to come. I've heard, I don't know for sure if it's accurate, I haven't taken the time to count, but that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day of the year. Fear is a thief. And its whole goal is to keep you from moving forward. Did you hear me? Fear wants to freeze you in place. Make you afraid to step out into anything. Always make you afraid that you're wrong. Always make you feel like that you can't even make a decision because now you're afraid that you might be wrong. And so I heard a story about a woman. And because God was trying to teach me this, this is the way God works in our life. He gave me different revelation on this scripture at the same time. And the story that I heard about the woman was this. There was a woman who had lived all of her life in fear. She wouldn't drive because of fear. She wouldn't go out at night because of fear. Just fear just controlled her life. And so she was a believer. She was talking to a friend who was a believer. And she said, oh, I just don't know what to do. I'm so afraid. Fear is stealing my life. I don't do this because of fear. I don't do that because of fear. And her friend just looked at her and just said, well, why don't you just do it afraid? Well, when I saw that, it was like this revelation just washed over me that fear is a feeling that the enemy brings to us. It's an evil spirit. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power, love, and a calm and a sound mind. So the devil brings fear for the sole purpose of trying to stop us from going forward. So you can do it afraid. The Bible doesn't say that you can't shake, that you can't sweat, that you can't tremble. It just says fear not. And fear not means to keep moving when you feel fear. Courage is forward motion in the presence of fear.
So we absolutely all deal with fear, but there's nothing better to knowing that we have something to fight back with some of these scriptures that Joyce is sharing. And I'm sure you guys have scriptures as well that when I'm feeling fearful, this is where I go.
I shouldn't say that I hate it, but like the number one on my list is connected to fear. So Philippians 4:6-7. I don't even need my notes for this one. I've said it so many times in my life. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. And the peace that passes understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That verse has gotten me through so many, like, I don't even say like points in life, but more like minutes of the day. It's just, it's so real to me.
Yeah.
So it is a fear verse. And I don't want to admit that I have fear, but.
But who doesn't? You know?
These days, when I feel fear, I tend to go to a scripture that typically doesn't have to do with fear. It's Jeremiah 29:11.
Oh, that's good. It's like a different
That's a great way to fight fear. That's
Because my fear recently has been like, God, I thought you told me the plan you had for me.
Yeah.
And now I don't know what to believe.
Yep.
You know, I don't know, like, because when we talk about, like, when other people, you know, affect the ultimate plan that you were supposed to have because people have free will, it can alter the plan A. And now you have to accept the plan B. And it's like, well, which plan is it? Like, which plan did you know about? You know? Yeah. And so it's for God. Wait, let me, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to
prosper you, not to harm you.
And not to harm you. And to, it's different versions. So like, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that's like, I know so many different versions. I always mix them up, like expected in, all that stuff. But
that's
like,
all right. Yeah.
So I don't know which one I'm doing. NIV, KIV, but at the end of the day, what God has been really ringing to me when it comes to fear, because I've been fearful about my future.
Because
things can change at any point. And so I'm like, God, what, I knew the plan that you had for me and my ex-husband together, but what is your plan for me? And he said, that, my darling, has not changed. My plan, and that makes me emotional, my plan for you hasn't changed. My plan for you guys as a unit, yeah, that's we're gonna go and put somebody else in that spot and do better things, you know. But my plan for you. So even when I get fearful,
God does not get derailed.
He does not get derailed. I mean, he didn't want that to happen,
right?
But he said, I'm not shocked by it, you know, and I'm not thrown off about the plan that I have for you. You just get up and keep walking. So I literally do read Jeremiah 29:11 every day, just because I know that God has a plan for you, for me, and a great future ahead for me.
I have one that's kind of similar, because years and years ago, like almost 20 years ago now, when we first moved to St. Louis to begin working with Joyce Meyer Ministries, we left behind all of our friends and our church and these people that have become family that we were so connected to, and came here where we knew no one. And there was fear about, you know, what, God, change what if my kids aren't happy?
Yeah.
You know, what if we don't connect to people? What if? And so this is one of those, Aaron, that we were talking about where it's read the whole thing. Because the story is just as impactful as the words, because that's how God works. But it's Ruth, and it's verse 2, 11 and 12. And Ruth had lost her husband.
Yes.
And decided to give up everything she had, the gods that she knew, and follow her mother-in-law. And this says,
that's amazing, right there.
I know. And I really clung to that. Yeah. But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord will repay you for what you have done, and a full reward will be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge."
Wow.
That's powerful.
That was just like this little wink from God where he's saying, I know what you're doing. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're afraid of, but come here, wrap up in my arms. I've got you.
That's
I'm
so going
to take care of this. Yeah. And there is always a peace in that. And I'll tell you, it was hard.
Sure.
And a lot of things went wrong. And you always have that, oh, we miss God because this isn't going perfectly. Right. Yeah.
I must have missed God.
Yeah. And I kept coming back to this. To this. No, this is what God says. I will be rewarded.
Yeah.
Now we can look back 20 years later and see the goodness of God in it instead of just all the things, the what ifs.
One of my other favorite verses I wrote down is similar to that same situation. When we moved, when we were in Missouri, then we moved back to Tulsa, and we thought, this is it. We have heard God. Like, this is where we're going to live the rest of our days. Mike was ready to retire there one day. Well, then 2 years later, we come back here. And so I remember having conversations with him. Like, that didn't bother me too much. Like, change is fine with me. Like, sure, let's go. And I knew so strongly we were supposed to go here, but I remember having conversations like, did we miss him?
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make sense on paper, so the plan, we must have gotten the plan wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, we're off somehow. And so he showed me Proverbs 16:9, a man plans his steps, but the Lord directs his paths.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what I needed, that you're taking steps and you're doing what you can and you hear me, but long game here, Aaron. I see the long game.
That's a great point. That's a great word.
Just you, I can do the next thing. He's got the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, we've got more great favorite scriptures, so we're going to go back to Joyce and get one of hers. Hopefully you're finding these things, these little nuggets that help you in that area that you need, whether you're battling the past or fear. Here's one where we're going to look at what Joyce has to say about one of her favorite scriptures that impacted her entire approach to life.
So you can stop doing wrong things, and that's good, but you don't get the result that God wants you to have until you start doing right things. So, led by the Holy Spirit, I made a confession list that had 65 different things on it that I wanted to see happen in my life. And I did my homework. I found a scripture to back up every single one of them. I'm not telling you to just go make stuff up that you want. I'm going to be a gazillionaire, you know. I'm going to marry the president. That's not the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, God loves me and I love people. You write that down. I mean, I wrote down even things like, I get speaking engagements all the time by mail, by phone, and in person. I'd never had anybody ever ask me to come anywhere. 65 things, and I can stand here today and tell you that every single one of those things has come to pass in my life. Every single solitary one has come to pass in my life. Listen, let me tell you something. If you don't ever learn anything else, learn the power that's in your mouth. Proverbs 18:21, the power of life and death is in the tongue, and they who indulge it will eat the fruit of it, whether it's for life or death. So you can either feed yourself death or you can feed yourself life. You can make yourself weak, you can make yourself strong. You can depress yourself, you can encourage yourself.
The exciting thing about what she's saying is there's not only such power in our words that we have to be careful with what we do say so that we don't say the wrong stuff, because we've all been there. Please, I have said so many things that have gotten me into trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so good to know that by saying the right things, by saying what's in God's word, you can influence your life. You can open the door to God working in ways that you didn't realize was possible. This thing about your words, that is a life-changing scripture.
I don't necessarily love reading the scripture when it comes to my words, because I just want to say what I want to say.
that kind of makes sense. You know, I get it. And it's not about pushing down truth or not being true to what needs to be said. It's not about not speaking truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, tell me what you're thinking.
I guess because, like, okay, for our friends, I just went through, well, for the past few years, I've been going through a pretty bad divorce, and I felt like I just was so Christian-y at times that I didn't feel, and I'm a justice person.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to say some things and do some things. I wanted a moment. I wanted a whole TV moment to, like, you know, I just wanted a moment, honestly. I didn't do it, but at certain times, then I felt like.
We all do it sometimes.
But yeah, I felt like I wanted to say what I wanted to say and do what I wanted to do. But then I was quickly reminded of a scripture, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so I'm like, well, I didn't really, and that sometimes I would read that and I'm like, well, I don't care if he mad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm like, well, this time I'm not going to choose a gentle word, you know?
Right.
So it's just like, I get the scripture always checks me.
Yeah.
I don't always obey. And like Joy said in the last clip, like she used to have a horrible attitude. When I get riled up, then I do have a bad attitude, you know, especially because I want justice and I want the right thing to happen. So
I want justice too. I'm completely there.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a justice verse I wrote down because it means so much to me. Psalm 37, 5 and 6, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun.
Oh, that's good.
So that's beautiful. Yeah. It's not our righteousness in ourself, though. It's our righteousness in him. And so that's where it all comes full circle. You can take scripture and you can misunderstand it.
Yeah.
Or you can say, no, this is all about pointing me and pointing others to Christ. Now, it doesn't mean you don't ever say what needs to be said.
Yeah.
Let me ask it if you guys would agree. A lot of it is like a heart thing. Like, what's your motive in saying it? So
I wanted to hurt his feelings.
Right. So that's probably not.
Let's be honest.
Be real clear. Sometimes you do have to say the hard thing, but like if it's to a friend or a spouse or whatever it is, and you know, like it's like, I think God gives you the words to speak, even when they're the hard words to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's different. But I think motive is a big part of it, you know? Like, what is your heart going into it?
Yeah.
Because then that helps also the words you say maybe come from a softer approach.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
But when you're speaking the word of God, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? That is my safety valve.
Yeah.
It's like, because there are a lot of times I want to say things that are not in the word.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But then there's Matthew 18 that talks about going to your brother and sister in love.
Right.
You know, like it's
and that's the sweet spot.
That's the sweet spot. It's like, no one's saying don't say anything. It's saying go to them in love. And instead of going to, you know, homegirl over there and homeboy over there to talk to them about what happened with you and this part. No, like we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be able to come to each other and say, hey, when you did this, now grant you, I'm supposed to have an unoffendable heart. However, this kind of hurt my feelings low-key.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, sure.
And so if you love me and if I love you, we're going to work towards getting things right, you know, because another scripture is about is a friend is born. A brother is born through adversity. Like, you become more family once you've had those hard moments and are able to get above it and get over it and get through it. So,
yeah,
I think it's God gives you what to say and how to say it. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to cut, which with my ex-husband, I was going to cut. I just wanted to be like, gah, 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 especially after he served me papers. It's like, how dare you? Like, how dare you?
Sometimes it feels good. Like, in the moment, saying the mean thing does feel great until you go back and you read the Bible and you realize and remember how off you were.
Yes. And so, not to be extreme, but like the fact that I didn't, like, I've never had a physical altercation in my life. Like, I've never done that. I've envisioned, but the fact that I didn't do some of the things that Satan was putting in my mind to think to do, you know, like, I'm glad I just said some of those words, like, because I, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, I probably did a solid, 3.
It could have been worse.
It could have been worse.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that God, Holy Spirit, did pull me back from doing some of the things that I was like, felt like I had the right to do, you know? But God is like, nah. So he gives you a little leeway to be like, go ahead and just come on back and ask me for forgiveness. And, there's grace for that, So.
I love what she shared in that clip about her confession list.
Yeah.
And yes.
Being a part of this ministry for so long and having heard her teachings about how she made that list, I love so much how it is all based upon the word of God. So in our culture, you have a vision board and you speak what you want and you manifest what you want. Well, that doesn't actually work if you don't have the word of God.
Right. Like, those are two very scriptural.
It's not. Mm-hmm. But what she's saying is so good that I pray what the word says. I pray what God says. And that's a very different approach to.
Yeah.
It's not getting what I want. It's I want what God wants. I will speak what his word says and then he will do the rest.
Have a vision board. Do that stuff.
Absolutely.
Make sure that it's based on what God says is in line for us in Christ.
Yeah.
It all comes back to Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because he's not just giving you everything you want. He's not just saying, oh, you envision this in your mind. Mm-hmm. It will be. It's so much more. I'm going to chase after God. I'm going to abide in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he will put in my heart those things that line up with what his word says about me.
Yeah.
And that's where having that vision is supported by the word of God. And it really makes the difference.
It does. I remember, how long ago was it? I mean, it's been a while. When Mike and I first got married and we went through some tough things then. And I remember vividly standing in the shower and speaking these things that I was not seeing yet. And I thought, this is ridiculous. These are big asks. But God, you said it, so I'm going to pray it.
Yeah.
And it took years. Like, I'm not seeing the effects of those prayers until like 12 years later.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I stood on the words God promised to me. And so verses like Psalm 46:5, God is within her, she will not be moved. Mm. That means a lot to me because I stood on God's promises for me during that time. And I didn't waver and I didn't move. And I took a long time, but he means what he says.
Yeah. That's great.
That reminds me of one of my favorite ones, which is Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And so
that's my favorite too.
Really?
Yeah. I like that one.
I like that one.
Yeah, I'll put it on my list.
It's a good one. It's a really good one.
It just really is like my favorite just because, but you have to ask it and you have to think it. Mm-hmm. Like what you're saying, like you have to.
Right.
He wants us to use our voice.
Right.
And use our words to talk to him and to say like, hey, like I can do above, like exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. But the caveat in there is you have to ask it and you have to think it. Mm. And so that just has really empowered
me.
We
have not because we ask not.
Exactly. And so it's empowered me to do exactly what you said you were doing in the shower. It's like, just declaring those things that, you know,
yeah,
you know, like the things that I don't even see as real. A lot of times what I try to do is speak the opposite of what Satan's trying to tell me that I'm not. Yeah. And then say, no, 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 I'm this, you know, no, 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 I will see this, you know. So you got to ask it and you got to think it. And so it's super powerful to do that.
And we do have that confession list also. Mm-hmm. It's always online. Mm-hmm. If you want to get it, just it's not to confess those things necessarily exactly like Joyce did or to have what she has or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's just to use as a temple and a template and an inspiration to see what God has for you. And we to create our own confession list and to have those scriptures that we really feel God is impressing on our lives. That's one of the things that I've done with Tim and the girls and now with the grandkids praying for that is that praying for a promise for them that I can hold on to in the Word. And we talked about the 2 Timothy verse earlier, and that was the verse that God really laid on my heart for Taylor when she was really little. Mm-hmm. And it just means so much to me today to see how she's blossomed and what God's doing in her life and see that Word come to pass. Mm-hmm. And before that part about God does not give you a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and of a sound mind, it says, fan into flame the gift of faith
that
God has put in your grandmother and your mother and is now in you. It was a generational thing. And I was just so blessed to read that and think God is going to continue such wonderful works through now my children and her children and their children. And trusting God in that is huge. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
It is.
Just the power of the Word and the power of Scripture and how it applies to every season of life.
Your list of favorite scriptures is a living, breathing thing. It's growing all the time, and I'm always adding on to that list. And one of the things that I put on my list not too long ago, because I've been going through kind of a hard time too, and I've just been asking those questions of, God, what's next?
Yeah.
You know what? What do I have to look for in the future? And you know, my next birthday is going to be 60. And
yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Where 60? Where? I saw a piece of confetti
did
somewhere.
There's still confetti laying around from before. Yeah, and so you know, Tim is looking at retirement at some point in the not too distant future, and I know I don't want that. I want him to because I want us to be able to do fun stuff. But
you retire. I'm still too young to retire.
and just also a little bit of discouragement, like of some of the things that haven't happened the way that I wanted them to or different things. And just been kind of struggling like, God, how is this going to work? And show me what you want me to see. And then I came across this scripture. It's Amos 4:13. Mm-hmm. And it said, I love this so much.
Giddy. There we go.
I know. It makes me so happy. He who forms the mountains, who creates the wind, and who reveals his thoughts to mankind. I'm going to cry. Who turns dawn to darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. And that whole feeling of how big and majestic and creative God is, that he's in all these places, and yet the phrase that kills me, and who reveals his thoughts to mankind.
Yeah.
Like he's doing those really big, important things, and he cares enough about me to say, no, I want you to know what I'm thinking for you and about you. I have a good plan for you, and I want you to see it. I want it to be revealed to you.
Yeah.
And so holding on to that promise, right now when I'm not seeing it yet, I don't know what it is. And it's hard, and it's frustrating, and I don't like not knowing the plan. Yeah. I like making the plan.
Yeah.
But boy, the plans I make are not nearly as good as the plans that God makes. So standing on this scripture right now, it's a new thing for me. And I love that God takes care of us in that way.
Yeah. That was very Job-esque, that scripture. It just reminds me of Job.
When God said, who are you to question me?
Yeah.
I've been doing all this really great stuff.
Right.
And you're a little dirt man.
Yeah. So I got this figured out for you. That's just scriptures like that you can like almost tangibly feel the majestic vastness of who God is.
Yeah.
Like He created the universe, yet he cares about what you're walking through right now, and he is going to meet you where you are, and he's going to drop a new favorite verse to you because he knows you need it. You can't put that into words unless you've lived it out.
Yeah.
That's why this is so exciting.
Yeah.
Like, just to think about it literally puts into context, especially someone like you. He knows that, isn't it cool how in his scripture, he knows how to speak to us in the way, like, because you're such a nature person.
Mm-hmm.
And to point you to a scripture that talks about the grandiosity of like a mountain.
Yeah.
Somebody like you, like that me, I'd to be my like, heart. That's a big mountain, but I'm probably allergic to it. But for you, but for you, you're like, you know, like, it's so kind.
It's so personal.
Yeah, it's like, and that's, it just, if we open the book and really just take time with him, he'll lead us to where we need to go, and it will be handcrafted and unique to our journey.
Yes, yeah. How well he knows us and what moves us and what speaks to us.
Yeah.
And what we need. Yeah. So much greater than we know.
Yeah, and the Bible's living and breathing too.
Yeah.
That's the cool part. Like, even though it's not changing, but new revelation and new ways because the more experiences we have, scriptures mean different things.
It does.
So like
that's why writing it down is so helpful. And I really encourage you guys, just jot some things down now and then, whether it's Jay using an app or Erin with her cheat sheets.
Lined notebook paper.
She's like, and it was
a five-star spiral bound.
Subject bound with the folder, perforated lines. Wow. I'm like, I don't even own lined paper anymore.
But my favorite verses, I think, are my favorite verses because I've written them and then I write them again. And as I'm writing them, like, they're sinking into my heart and the times that I just am clinging to them. So,
well, this is a great thing for you. If you'd like to get it, it's absolutely free for you. We have a Talk It Out journal, which is really essentially a few scriptures. Look, Vanna White here has what it looks like.
Lined paper.
Spiral notebook. Be just like Erin today.
Let me see it. It's absolutely free.
Go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout while we all geek out over this beautiful notebook. Oh, and also, we want to invite you to our Girls Night In, which is very exciting. We can't wait for it. It's coming up in January. The date is January 27th.
Oh, yeah.
It's at 8 p.m. Eastern time. That's when it's live. And we're going to have so much fun because Joyce is going to equip us to fight anxiety.
Ooh, Lord,
it's going to be so good. We're going to have Brian and Katie. Katie's been here with us. We love Katie. They're going to be there doing music. And we're also going to do a Talk It Out discussion with all of us and Joyce and Love McPherson.
Oh, we love her.
It's going to be so fun.
I wasn't here
with her last time, so I look so forward to spending this time with her. I know. Yeah. I already do.
I feel like they need to sit on the couch together for just a minute to have a moment.
Yeah, just to have a moment.
Yeah. Yep. I'm all about that. I'm all about love and love.
Yeah.
So we invite you to join us. It won't be the same without you. You can stay at home. It's a live event that you just wear whatever you want, kick your feet up, and watch it online. So you can go to joycemeyer.org/nightin to register for it right now. We're going to have great fun.
Those are always so fun.
Wasn't today great? I told you it would be.
I'm getting leaving now. I'm going to go tell everybody, do you want to know my favorite verse? Here's 10.
And they'll say, yes, I want to know. Well, we are getting you've been with us. We'll see you next time. It's a new year and time to kick anxiety out into the cold and snuggle in for a night of girl talk and encouragement. Join us for a Love Life Girls Night In with Joyce, a live streaming event featuring worship with Katie and Brian Torwalt, a lively Talk It Out discussion with guest Love McPherson, and Joyce teaching us how to tackle anxiety head on. Friday, January 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Call your girlfriends and register today at joycemeyer.org/livestream.